Morning again. It's been the strangest morning on the planet for me today. I couldn't download my message. It all seemed to go wrong. But when I got here, I got amazing confirmations. Whoa. So it's very exciting. The Lord's going to be speaking to us in however that will apply to you individually. But I'm so glad that we read that together, because the Lord wanted me to bring today the importance of His Word. And but before I start, can I just tell a funny story? A little girl went to her mom and said, "Mom, where did we come from?" "Well," she said, "a long time ago, there was a couple called Adam and Eve, and they had lots and lots of children. And so that's how we began." So then she thought, and she went, "Go and ask my dad." So she went to Dad and she said, "Dad, where did we come from?" "Well," he said, "thousands of years ago, there was monkeys. And they evolved, and we came from monkeys." So the child was really disturbed. So she went back to her mom, and she said, "Mom, I asked you, where do we come from? And you told me we came from Adam and Eve. But I went to Dad, and he said we come from monkeys." "Oh, that's very simple," she said. "I told you about my side of the family." Well, that broke the ice, didn't it? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. Before I actually start what I have been written down here, I felt the Lord was reminding me about two things. You all know that I used to run healing rooms with some other directors. And the prophetic word was always so exciting. And I love the prophetic word. It's great. But looking back, I've realized that the most important word is this. And the prophetic word has to line up with this. So we have to know this to be able to judge whether something is from God or not. Isn't that true? Yeah? And I'm not down in the prophetic word in any way, but it's very enticing, and it needs checking. And the true sure word we have is this book. But God speaks as well in all sorts of ways. He gives people pictures. He gives them words. But they have to line up with this book. Now, when I was standing over there, I really felt the Lord began to speak to me. And I was right in and going back for my phone to try and find the verse. Because what He gave me, I always would seek to try and find a scripture with it so it backs it up. Do you understand what I mean? Because I think that's so important. Well, this is the scripture He gave me. And whoever this is for, it could be for every one of us, really. But Lord, I just pray that this word You've given me, and I'm being obedient and giving it. And I have to say, it's not an easy word to give. But I have to be obedient. And I pray, Father, for Your protection over this word, Lord, that whoever all of us it's for, we will pay attention. And it's Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 16. But encourage yourselves each day as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become companions of the Christ, if indeed we hold the beginning of the assurance firm to the end. And this is the bit that it was emphasized. In that it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the provocation, for who it was who, having heard, provoked. So I believe the Lord is, what he seems to me to be saying is, the Lord speaks to us about things. And it was like there's a time span in which we need to be obedient. So if he's spoken to me, Lord, I ask you, whatever you said to me, help me not to harden my heart. Help me to obey you when you say it. And I pray that for each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay. I've got a lot of scripture today because it's all about scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what's right. So what part in our journey with the Lord should the Word have? What part in our lives? Because he's given us this amazing book. And I've been saved for a very long time, and I should know this book much, much more than I do. But I'm in it much more than I used to be, because I want to know his word. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So I've just demonstrated one way we hear the Lord's voice, but I was very careful to back it up with the scripture. And the other way is this. Or sometimes he gives visions and dreams, but everything has to line up with his word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, because remember, there was no New Testament then. So Jesus was quoting what was already in the Word. But he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that every man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And Jesus is the word. And there's two words in Greek, I'm sure you all know this, for word. One is rhema, and the other is logos. And Jesus, it is said, was the Logos, the Word made flesh. And the disciples said, and we beheld his glory. Wow. The Word. He was the living Word. Jesus, you're so awesome. And I wrote down one of the verses in the reading we had. Psalm 103, verse 3. who forgives all our iniquities. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Every sin, every iniquity. Iniquity is considered to be family sin that can come down the line by some people. And there are many words for sin in the Bible. But he forgives them all. He forgives all our sins. That means our sheet is white. It's clean. Such a wonderful thing to know. It's such a wonderful gift. To know that everything I've ever done is forgiven. And everything I ever will do was also taken care of. Jesus in Matthew 9 met a man who was infirm, and he said, going along with this Psalm 103, verse 3, he says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? They're tied in together, our healing and our forgiveness. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it. What does meditate mean? It actually means, one of the meanings is what we did today. We read it out loud. That's one of the words for meditate. So interesting. And it means when we're reading, to speak it out loud, to imagine it, to pause over it. And when I first became a Christian, I was on one of these Bible plans. You know, the one you read 4 chapters a day. Anyone ever done one of them? Yeah, a few smiles, yeah. But the thing is that you know, if you miss a day, you have to do 8 and you're kind of racing. You can be tempted to race through it. Or you can not really spend time on it because you've got 8 chapters to read now, not 4. And so that's a good foundation because then you do get to know the whole Bible because that's really important that we know all of it, not just our favourite bits or the bits that are easy to understand because so much of this I don't understand yet. But to move on from there and to begin to meditate and take it in so that the word actually begins to change us. Because it says the word is powerful. It's able to discern between the soul and the spirit. In other words, it's able to discern between what's our flesh and what's the spirit of God. Or what's our emotions and what's our spirit? We need to be able to discern that, and that's what one of the things the Word of God does for us. Your Word, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Therefore, if we believe in that, when we come to read, are we expecting to hear something? Are we expecting that lamp on our path? Are we expecting that light to lighten our path? Many times through our lives, Tom and I, the Lord has spoken through his word to us. And sometimes through dreams. And I remember having this dream way, way, way back. Because Tom and I had already had a mortgage in Ireland in our house. So we'd been through the mortgage thing and now we're quite a bit older. And I had this dream that we're supposed to buy the bookshop. Now, in today's economic situation, it would not be there had we not bought it, because we wouldn't be able to afford to pay the rent of that size of premises today. But the law was insistent. I want, you know, it was so heavy on us to buy this premises. Now, we went to visit a church. I'm trying to think of the name, but some of it will know you. Know it. Bill and Margaret were the leaders there for a while. Begins with a H. Holbrook, that's right. We went to visit Holbrook. We'd never been there before. And I don't know why we even went, but we went there. And it was John and Rita, I think, were the leaders then. And Rita stood up and she said, I have a word for someone here, much like I've had a word today. I have a word for someone here. And in the morning meeting, I knew it wasn't for the morning meeting. It's only for this meeting here. And there's someone here. And she began to read from Jeremiah 32. And that's all about Jeremiah being told to buy a field, to buy property. She said, there's somebody here. The Lord is telling you to buy property. And I'm going. So you see, here's how the two work. I had a dream. I shared it with Tom. And it was like scary, you know, starting from scratch again at our age. And then we went to this meeting, and here comes someone reading this out. But then the post came about maybe 3 or 4 days later, and we opened this letter because we had a landlord. We were renting the property. And in this letter, it was the daughter of the landlord, and she said, my father has passed, and we would like to offer you the property at half price. Wow. Isn't the Lord awesome? But you see, what I'm trying to say is that he initiated that. I didn't think of that, I want to buy it. That'd be the last thing I would be thinking about. But you see, the Lord initiated with a dream, and then with a confirmation of scripture. So we were well made up. And so we did. And the Lord enabled us to pay the mortgage off much, much, much quicker than, you know, the X amount of years you were given. Because the Lord blessed us in so many ways. And then we have what some people call a life scripture. Everywhere you go, you get the same scripture. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Or someone reads it. And it was Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Isaiah 54. And so for many, many, many years, probably 20 years, we prayed this scripture. And I used to look around, you know, I wonder what this means. Are we meant to move to somewhere else? So I used to look around, you know, I wonder if we're supposed to sell up and move. Nothing ever happened. And one day I was really frustrated because we were running a navy out of a yacht. I mean, we had books in our bedroom. We had, like, it was so difficult to manage everything in this small building and raise 3 children. And so I was out in the garden one day and I really, you know, I went for it. And the Lord answered me and he said, from scripture, what he said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And I went, what do I have in my hand? Okay, well, we own this bookshop now. He said, this is what he said, get an architect and get him to show you what you could do, let him draw up what could be done with what's in your hand. So that's what we did. And this architect came and he said, if you knock down these 4 walls, you'll have a building, you'll have a shop floor twice the size. Wow. Now that cost, at that time, now this is nearly 20 years. This is about 20 years ago. Because we're in our house about 20 years, aren't we, Tom? Yeah? And so the cost would be 55,000. Now, we didn't have 55, believe me. We just went from month to month with a little bit over, you know. 55,000, and I'm not into getting loans. I've already done that once, so I don't do that again. Anyhow, you know the story of the fish, the bread and the fish, how Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish. Well, in those days you wrote checks for everything, so we had a manager and he said, we're going to do it this way. I mean, it was a big step of faith. We had to move the shop to a building next door became available just then. So we rented the place next door. 25 people came on Boxing Day and helped us move everything out. So the place was empty downstairs and we were still living upstairs. And so, gosh, hammering, dust. And then Pat would say, oh, I need a check for 5,000 today. Okay, here we go. So I'd write a check. And he'd pay it in. And then he'd come about 2 weeks later. He said, I need 7,000 today because they're going to put in an RSJ and under this. Anyway, the whole thing came to 55,000. Now, as I told you, I can't work this out in the physical sense. I can only work it out spiritually. But at the end of that time, we still had the same amount of money. Yet we'd paid out 55,000. And all I can understand it is when Jesus broke the bread and gave it away to the disciples to give out, it was like he still had the same amount there. And he gave away and he gave away and he gave away the five loaves. And it fed 6,000 people, 7,000 people. There's one says 7,000, which was a separate one. And there's one that said 5,000. So there's two feedings of the 5,000, I believe. And but this is what the Lord could do with little. He could make it to feed a multitude. With little fish, two loaves of bread and five little fish, he fed a multitude. And that's what we felt happened to us because he spoke to us by his word. Extend the place of your habitation. So you see how precious this book is. Because it can, I mean, look what it's done in our little lives. Look what it's done. And the amount of people that have been saved in that building and touched and healed and transformed because he said what he said from here. So what could he do in this room full of people if we took this word like this and let him speak to us? There's no limit. There's no limit to what he can do. He's so amazing. You know, since last December, I was really going through a really, really... Because I handle the finances now, because Tom used to do all that, but as he's still recovering, I've stepped into that place. And some kind of misunderstanding happened, which nobody can get to the bottom of. Anyway, this company told us we owed this amount of money, and I can prove on paper we paid it. So I went round and back, was involved, got the ombudsman, people involved. No one could get to the end of this, and this company were not budging. So unfortunately, you know, we had this kind of letter, you have to pay this, otherwise you're going to court. Okay, so the scripture says, if someone asks for your coat, give him your cloak. So this meant if I paid this bill, I'm going to pay the same amount of money three times. Now, what do I do? What do we do? Well, he says, if someone asks you for your coat, give him your cloak. I'm not saying everyone should do that. That's what spoke to me. Then I'm reading, I haven't got the verse here. I was reading the next day, because I study the scripture by subject now, so I'll get every word on a particular subject like the heart or like, you know, the compassion. I'll go through and find every verse and put them all together in a particular way that I do. And I was reading through, and then I came to this psalm, and it said, "Do not go to court lightly." And I went, "Yes, Lord. No matter how it looks, we made the right decision." So the Lord can speak into any situation you're in. And I'm still praying for justice for that, because God is a God of justice. And sometimes it looks like you've got to obey something that's not just. But you have to be obedient. I have to bless those people. And in fact, on one day last week, the gentleman who instigated all this ended up phoning me. And I said, "You do know I paid this, don't you?" He said, "No." Well, I said, "Tell you what, I forgive you and I bless you." There was silence. So sometimes we get tested on this word. Are you going to do what I said? Are you going to bless your enemies? Are you going to bless those who mistreat you? Are you going to pray for them? So I want to pray for this man. And then there's a wonderful verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 7 which says, "Cast all your care on him." So I had to learn to cast that thing on him. On him. Because he cares about you. Because he cares about you. He cares about us. Imagine. He cares about each one of us here in this room. There isn't a thing that he doesn't know about you, from your conception to when you go to be with him. He cares about you. Oh, thank you, Father, you care about us. You see everything. There's nothing you've missed about anyone in this room. There's nothing you've missed about me. You knew this day would come. You knew every day we've lived would come. No matter what you face, and some of you face really hard things, but he's seen it all. And one day great will be our reward. One day your reward will be great. Because he misses nothing. He has missed nothing in your life. Nothing. Maybe, you know, some people, they've suffered wrongfully. They've been lied about. They've been mishandled. They've been neglected. They've been forgotten. But he sees every moment of your life, of my life, from A to Z. He's so awesome. He's so awesome. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He promises that we're diligent. We seek him. We seek him through this book. We read it. Because, you know, he's the Word. And we have fellowship with the Word when we pick this book up. I just want to finish on this because I think this is so stunning. I love studying. And I was studying about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we've been to Israel, and one day we were in what they call the Shrine of the Book. They built the Shrine of the Book to house the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's pictures of the pots, and I was photographing them. Come told me off, "You're not allowed to photograph." Oh, okay, sorry. But, you know, from the Dead Sea Scrolls are the oldest documents of the Scriptures, actually, they say here. 2,200 years BC, they were written. All the books. There's fragments of every book in the Bible. There's 1,000 documents in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there was a group of people called the Essenes. And it's thought that John the Baptist came from the Essenes. And the Essenes were a group of Jews who met in the desert. And they had a library called in Qumran, which was the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there was a big, they were around in the time of Christ, obviously, because of John the Baptist. But up to 100, AD 100, which is about 30 years after the destruction of the temple. There was what they called the Bar Kokhba Revolt, and people revolted against the Romans, against the persecution, and they all perished. These Essenes perished. But guess what? In 1947, a little shepherd boy was throwing stones into a cave. I'm gone all cold, quivery. A little shepherd boy, I think he was about 12 or 13, threw a stone into a cave and he heard ding. Oh, that means there's something in there. And he investigated and he found these scrolls. This was their library, 2,000 odd years old. And you know, the book of Isaiah is word for word what we have in here. And this was their library. And the Lord preserved it till the nation of Israel was formed and they could house it for everyone to see. And it is stunning, what's it? I mean, it is just stunning. And it's written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And all the things we can ever wonder, is this really true? The proof is there in the natural. And the Father wanted us to see this word is so true. We can stand on this word because it's his word. And that library was kept for us. That we, you know, we've been there and seen it. It's amazing. And you can read the Hebrew. You know, I've seen the words and they're slightly different alphabet, but no, it's the same alphabet, but the figures are slightly different. But you can read the Lord's name, the Yod-Heh-Vav, and you can read, and those who are really scholarly can read the whole lot. I haven't got there yet, but I'm getting there. And it's just incredible how accurate this book is and how Tom and I could depend on it. That when he gave us that word that extend this place, and we didn't have 55,000, he's our provider. He, the Lord, 60 times, I think I said this here last week, 60 times in the first 39 books it says, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord your healer. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He's awesome. And there's so much we can discover. So I want to encourage myself and encourage you to get in this book. Because when you do, when I do, I feel as if I've eaten a big meal. I feel really full of it. You know, it's so rewarding to spend time in this book. So that's really where I want to finish today. But I want you to remember, he knows, if he knew about the Dead Sea Scrolls and he kept them for 2,000 years, do you not think that he can care for us? He says, even if a sparrow falls to the ground, I see it, I know it. He doesn't say he stops it falling, but he says, I know it. He knows everything about us and he cares for us. And he's a father that we can really trust. You know, many of our earthly fathers, we may have gone through difficulties with our earthly fathers because they're human beings. They make mistakes. My father, you know, he never had a dad. His dad died when he was one. What did he know about being a father? Well, he's my father and I honour him. And you know, we may not have had great examples, but the Heavenly Father cares for us. And I feel he wants us to know that today. I care for you. Even though you may be going through a dark road, a hard road, a questioning road, a peaceful road, a comfortable road, an exciting road, he cares for us so much. And so, Lord, as we come to take the bread and the wine that you made Jesus on, imagine, Lord, on the night you were being betrayed, which is the worst emotional thing to happen to any human being. On the night you were being and I mean, Jesus wasn't just a human being, but the part of him that was human, it's betrayal is the worst thing I think that can happen to anyone. And some of us in this room may have experienced that. But Jesus says, on the night that he was, Paul says, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. I just want to read that. Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was delivered up, in the night in which he was betrayed, Lord, I want to thank you that you took our betrayal. He took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we come this morning as we give the bread out. We come to remember what you did for us. That you became the living bread which came down from heaven. The manna in the wilderness, not like the manna in the wilderness, because the manna in the wilderness disappeared, but the bread of life is eternal. He's an eternal being. And one day we will see the bread of life face to face. In like manner also he took the cup, and after having drank, he said, This cup, I just want to get one of these. Can I just take one of these? This cup that we're going to take in a minute. This cup. Is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant. Lord, I acknowledge that this represents what you did for us on Calvary, that you made a new covenant in your blood. And as we, can we give these out now? As we come to receive this meal, this bread, As you eat the bread, think of the living bread. That this bread represents the living bread. I am the bread that came down from heaven. This bread represents Jesus. And in some way, we receive, as we take this bread, we're receiving him afresh. We receive him when we're born again, but we're remembering him. Lord, we remember you today. We remember what you went through for each one of us. As we take this bread into us, we remember what you did for us. That you became the living bread. You became the living word which we eat as we read your word. Jesus, I thank you. You are my bread. You're the Word of God. The living bread. Thank you, Jesus. We receive you, Lord. Lord, as we come to take the wine, we remember your blood. The blood that was shed for the redemption of the whole world. This represents that. We turn our eyes upon you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the blood.